This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Members of the Illinois General Assembly are set to resume their legislative session in Springfield later this week. It's the first scheduled meeting of the Illinois House and Senate since March 5th, more than 2 months ago, or what feels like 2 years in COVID time. And I should probably correct myself, because technically lawmakers will not be resuming the regular legislative session. Instead, House Speaker Michael Madigan and Senate President Don Harmon have called a special session, only for considering a relatively narrow set of issues: the COVID-19 pandemic, the state budget, the election later this year, and a few other topics. And the setting is going to be different as well. The Senate will meet in the Capitol building, but the House has rented out a convention center in downtown Springfield so lawmakers can meet while practicing social distancing. Public access will be somewhat limited, too. Joining me to talk about the policy, politics, and procedure of this week's special session are two members of the Illinois House of Representatives. Assistant Majority Leader Jay Hoffman is a Democrat from Swansea in the Metro East region. Representative Hoffman, welcome to the 21st.
Hi, how you doing, Brian?
Good, how are you?
Good.
And we're also joined by Deputy Minority Leader Tom Demmer, a Republican from Dixon in Northern Illinois. Representative Demmer, thanks for being here as well.
I'm happy to be here.
So I want to begin.
Tom, how you doing?
Hey, Jay.
Everybody healthy?
Yes. I hope the same for you.
Yeah, you too, Brian.
Yeah, no complaints so far. So I want to begin with sort of the policy aspect of this session. And Representative Hoffman, I'll begin with you. What do the Democrats want to see achieved in this 3-day special session?
Well, as you indicated, Brian, it's quite unusual. I first got elected in 1990 and took office in 1991. The only time that we didn't meet on the House floor was there was a reconstruction of the floor, and we met in the old state capitol that time. So this is going to be a different feel, certainly a different atmosphere, and it's a different time that we're going through. We need to just go to Springfield and, I believe, work on things that are more emergency nature that have been brought on by the COVID-19, as well as the budget. Our budget, because of what has happened with so much unemployment and businesses not be up and running, there's going to be certainly a very difficult time crafting a budget. Yet we need to do it because we know what happens when you don't have spending authority. So the Democrats will take up some emergency legislation as well as the budget. And we've been working very well, I believe, with the Republicans on issues such as greed bills on workers' compensation, so that that it makes sense how we actually compensate workers who may be injured as a result of COVID-19 or infected as a result of COVID-19 while on the job, as well as unemployment insurance issues, so that we can comply with some of the federal guidelines so that we can obtain the significant amount of federal money that's available. And we've been doing that in a bipartisan fashion. So I hope that will continue as we go through this week.
And what about the governor has called for a relief package. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we've had working groups of Republicans and Democrats. And one of the groups that the House, anyway, that was put together was an economic recovery working group. So what can we do to help businesses as they begin to reopen? What kind of burdens can we remove from them? And how can we get the economy back up and running? Also, we're attempting to make sure that our capital improvements program will continue to move forward, so that when we do finally get out of the shelter in place and folks can move around more freely, that we'll be able to, in a safe manner, put people to work through the capital improvements bill.
Just to not to get too far into the weeds on that, but does that mean the Chicago casino tax changes that had been long discussed are potentially on the agenda this week?
I think it's on the agenda because we need the Chicago casino in order to help fund projects throughout the whole state. Eventually, I don't know that it's the top priority, but it is certainly on the agenda.
And Representative Demmer, I want to bring you into the conversation. From the Republican standpoint, what are you hoping to see out of this special session?
Well, we agree that passing a state budget is very important. It's obviously something that we work on every year. There's a time-sensitive nature to it. You know, we start a new fiscal year on July 1st. And so we're certainly interested in working on a reasonable plan for that going forward. We're also interested in, you know, the many other topics that have been talked about of how we can further adapt to life with COVID. You know, one of the examples, I think we talk about COVID relief. The state received from the federal government an allocation of money to help defer some of the costs or provide some reimbursements for state and local government for some of the increased costs they've had from PPE purchases or overtime or, you know, the screening tents, those kinds of things. And I think we need to find a way to make sure that we can pass those dollars along to the many, many local governments across the state who have been really struggling with their own budgets and with how to respond to this in a financially responsible way. So that's one of the things that we're interested in, is ensuring that we can take some of those steps to facilitate financial support for small governments across Illinois.
And Representative Demmer, I have heard some Republicans talking about wanting to put a check on the governor's power to declare emergencies and sort of run the whole show here. Is that part of the broad Republican agenda, or are those just more individual members wanting to, you know, sort of take a close look and apply some scrutiny to the governor's actions in response to the pandemic?
Well, our government is built on checks and balances, and the entire legislature, the General Assembly, is supposed to be a check and a balance against both the executive branch and the judicial branch. And I think that especially in a time like this, a time where, you know, there's significant change, there are very important long-term policy decisions being made, the legislature has a fundamental role to play in creating that policy and providing oversight of the executive branch. And I think that's something that, you know, on both sides of the aisle, we should agree that the House of Representatives has an important role to play in conducting hearings, asking questions, providing oversight, and crafting laws that set policy that will impact the people of the state of Illinois for years.
That is Deputy Republican Leader Tom Demmer. We're also speaking with Assistant Democratic Leader Jay Hoffman, both from the Illinois House of Representatives. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Representative Hoffman, what about that? I mean, is from a Democratic standpoint, is reviewing the governor's actions in managing this pandemic on the agenda for this week?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I agree with Tom that it is incumbent upon us to make sure that our voices from the districts that we represent are being heard. Just recently, a group of Metro East legislators sent a letter to the governor requesting that our zone, which is the southern zone, be moved to the next level of openness, that we move to the next phase, because we're meeting all the metrics. And so we made those types of requests. We'll continue to represent our area the best we can, with the understanding that certainly what is happening is unprecedented, not only the number of people that are unemployed, but as Tom indicated, the effects that this is having on the services they're provided by local governments. We have to be a little bit, we have to be mindful that federal money is designated to be used for COVID purposes. I'd like to see it broadened, because there's so many impacts on local governments, not just their expenses on COVID-19 type of activities, but everything is being impacted all the way from, you know, police and fire to regular maintenance.
I want to drill down now. You mentioned money, and obviously the budget is, I would argue, the most important thing the legislature has to do every year. What are the options at this point? I mean, the governor and the legislature's independent budget forecasters. They've each made their own projections, but I mean, we're looking at $6 billion in shortfall, possibly seven, depending on how the graduated income tax vote goes with voters this year, between the current budget year and the next budget year that we're talking about now. What are the options for trying to deal with that? Will the legislature be making cuts across state government? Will there be, as the legislature has done in years past, kind of kicking it to the governor and giving him a lot more authority to figure out how to spend the limited money Illinois is going to have? What are the options? I'll start with Representative Hoffman on that.
Well, it certainly is difficult. I just got off a call regarding the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund, which is estimated, because of the number of individuals who are unemployed and are making claims of the, under the trust fund, it's estimated they're going to run a deficit of $8 billion to $14 billion. That's unprecedented. The furthest that we've ever been in debt or in deficit has been $2.5 billion, and that was at around 2009, 2010. So that's an unprecedented amount. So when you add that on top of the budget issues as a result of less revenue coming in, it's very difficult times and very difficult decisions. So I think we can't predict the future. We can't predict, what's going to happen with our economy. It's difficult to predict the future of this virus. So we are going to give the governor power to, with oversight, as Tom indicated, there needs to be oversight, give the governor power to move money around to meet this crisis. However, we certainly are hopeful that we're going to receive assistance from the federal government in order to help us make ends meet, whether it's for the regular budget or for the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund.
And Representative Demmer, we've had bipartisan votes on the budget for the last, I think, three budget years, if I'm not mistaken. Is there any scenario in which you could see that happening again this year, or are the supermajority Democrats going to be on their own?
I think there's always an opportunity for bipartisan work on a budget. That's the approach we've taken for several years in a row. And we've always been clear about, when we have respect for each other's priorities, we understand where each other are coming from, and we try to craft a reasonable compromise that can pave the way for bipartisanship. Obviously, the clock is ticking, and we're continuing to have conversations about just what a budget proposal would look like this year. It's going to be incredibly difficult, as Representative Hoffman has said, but there's always an opportunity for bipartisanship when we respect each other's priorities.
I wonder, Representative Hoffman, is shorting the pension systems, that's something that Illinois has done in the past times of financial difficulties, is that on the table, or is that viewed as a non-starter this year?
It's viewed as a non-starter. We need to pay our pensions, our pension obligations. If we don't, it just continues to build year in and year out. Having said that, the other items that are important to state government, we are going to have to take a long, hard look at, and what we can and cannot afford. It's not going to be easy. Like I said, we can't predict the future, so it's difficult to say what position we're going to be in 2, 3, 4, even 8, 9 months from now financially. Mm-hmm. So I think we have an obligation to pass a budget. This budget will give authority to the governor with oversight to not only receive federal funding, but also to make some of the other adjustments that need to be made. But I think it's statutorily we need to pay that pension payment.
Okay. Representative Demmer, I wonder if we can just talk a little bit, and we only have a few minutes left in our conversation today, but about the sort of the mechanics of session and the process. What have you been told about, what you need to do to prepare and how session is going to be conducted?
Well, the first thing we had to do to prepare is be tested for COVID, which I did on Friday afternoon, and I'll say it was one of the more uncomfortable medical procedures I've had. Luckily, I got a call this morning, and it came back negative, so I will be in Springfield. But as we're all getting tested, we're going to be wearing masks, face coverings. As you mentioned, we're going to be meeting in the convention center, so we'll have a lot more room to be able to spread out than what typically we would have in the House chamber. the operations are going to be very, very different. Instead of, you know, the typical end of May rush where the Capitol is full of people and, you know, you're coming in close contact with thousands of people in a day, this is going to be a very different scenario. So, you know, luckily we have obviously many technology ways to stay in contact and to, you know, talk to people, take testimony, hear all those, that kind of input. But the actual, you know, being there physically in the convention center is going to be really a kind of a surreal experience to go through.
And I mean, we have heard from some lawmakers who say they're not going to wear masks. I wonder how do you feel about that in your party, if I'm not mistaken?
Well, I think folks should wear face coverings. I mean, the point of a face covering is not necessarily to make sure that you don't get contaminated, but to make sure you're not going to contaminate someone else. And so I really see it as a responsible thing to do to help out our fellow colleagues. You know, we know there are members of the House, there are members of our staffs who have some, you know, conditions that make them more susceptible to COVID, you know, either age or other medical conditions. And so I really think this is about being responsible and making sure that you're looking out for, you know, your fellow brothers and sisters.
Okay. And that is going to have to be the last word. I'm sure there will be a lot more to talk about in the days ahead as the General Assembly does actually reconvene in Springfield. Deputy Minority Leader Tom Demmer is a Republican from Dixon, and Assistant Majority Leader Jay Hoffman is a Democrat from Swansea. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me this morning on the 21st.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian, and be well.
Yeah, you too.
See you soon, Tom.
See you, Jay.
All right, just... as we have another moment before a short break here, many of us have been lucky enough to do our jobs during the stay-at-home order, and some of us are maybe feeling a little bit reluctant about going back into the office or the studio, just saying. Not just over fears of the virus, but working from home has its perks, like maybe not having to commute or that awkward small talk in the break room, not to mention the fewer in-person meetings. We want to know how you're feeling about eventually going back to the office after months of working at home. This is for a segment on tomorrow's show, Tuesday's show. You can email us, talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. More to come in a moment. Stay with us.